Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. On tonight's show, the incomparable Lily Tomlin. She's won a Tony, multiple Emmys, a Grammy, and received both the Kennedy Center Honors and the Screen Actors Guild Lifetime Achievement Award. She's here to coach Paula on an audition. It's the ultimate example of overkill, except hopefully no one will die. Plus, why is our show the 86th highest rated podcast in Croatia? And why are we trending in Moldova? We'll investigate the special spell we cast in Eastern Europe. And later, it's time for the laugh-off. The off-mic laughter of producers Bonnie Captain Crinkle Burns and Tony Anita Hull has galvanized listeners. Now, it's your chance to identify the source of the chuckling that you love or, alternately, hate. It's a guffaw showdown on Miranda Street, with valuable bars of hotel soap dangled as prizes for our listeners. I'm Adam Felber, the ivory soap of the show. I'm 99.44% purely focused on cleaning up our act. And now, please welcome our in-house bottle of liquid body gel. It could spray out anywhere. Paula Poundstone!
Thank you so much!
Boy. Welcome, Paula.
Thank you. It is going to be so hard to say fuck on this show.
It really is, and yet you already did it.
Yeah.
But a big thank you to tonight's house band, opera singer Jamie Chamberlain.
Nice.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. This is going to be hard to get past. Paula, I understand you suffered a terrible loss this past week.
On Sunday, I was using the bathroom.
Yes.
And my cell phone, my beloved flip phone.
Oh, the flip phone, because you have a smartphone, too.
Yeah, but I don't use it to talk on. My flip phone fell into the toilet.
While you were using it?
Yes. Yeah.
So it slipped out of your hand?
No, I was not using the phone while I was on the toilet, although I will say stranger things have happened.
You know, sure.
Captain Crinkle calls me a lot.
Yes.
And there's only so much time in a day.
I hear that. I've talked to her.
But no, it slipped out of my pocket into the toilet.
I'm not even going to ask what sort of bathroom technique you were using that involved pockets over a toilet, but...
I think I was using it correctly.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't figure it out.
But it slipped into the toilet.
There's science involved. There's physics.
Okay,
I
slipped into the toilet, and is it ruined?
I tried to save it. I tried desperately to save it.
Did you put it in a bag of rice?
I didn't put it in a bag of rice.
Well, you could do it, and if it doesn't work, you still got rice.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, you get that side dish.
No, but it's,
really,
it's,
you can put it in a bag of any side dish.
Right.
Yeah,
you can, yeah,
put,
exactly.
Yeah,
you
can put it.
No, allegedly, rice helps.
My daughter is a vegan, you know, so I would put it in a bag of quinoa.
Or farro.
Oh, I like farro. Quinoa, okay. Quinoa is just going
you're
too
not,
far.
You're not a quinoa person.
Yeah, but anyway, so no, it was,
so now
it was
your beloved...
I think my entire neighborhood heard the screams of pain when my cell phone fell in the toilet.
Now, I've always loved your phone because it's nostalgic for me when I hear that little AT&T sign-off or whatever it is.
It's a flip phone.
Yeah.
It's, yeah, Donna Reed calls me on it.
Now, you want to replace it soon, I guess.
I do want to replace it, and we, well, I say we, my assistant Wendell... went out to look, and he couldn't find that kind of phone.
You know why? Because he doesn't have a time machine.
So,
because he would need so to go shopping in 1997 to get your phone.
You're like a kid thinking that it has to be the most modern. The you know, yeah.
I don't think it has to be the
I
most modern.
I do have an iPhone, and I think it's a, what is it, how do they identify the iPhones?
Smartphones?
The ones with the numbers. It's I have a 5, I have a 6. What,
yeah, 5 or 6 or
yeah,
7 or 8 or 10.
I think I have a 3. And by the way,
wow.
I bought my 3 the day before the 4 came out.
Wow. So it must have been nice and inexpensive.
No, I don't think it was.
You just
I think
wanted
I paid
to beat
full price.
Well, I really don't need the latest and greatest. I'm actually still rocking an iPhone 6S, which is like 3 models
Wait
ago.
A minute.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's why when I call you, all I can hear is...
No, that's because I'm always at the dentist when you're...
Do you hear the guy going, do you want to spit now? Do you hear that?
Yeah, yeah, that absolutely. So you need another one, right?
I do. It was, let's see, it was a LG B470
okay.
For AT&T.
Okay, so what we're going to do right now is we're going to reach out to our listeners. Usually we're offering them stuff.
Yeah.
Well, actually, but we're not. We're asking them for content, and we give them hotel soap.
It's about time that dynamic changed anyways.
Right. So listeners, this is what you can do for Paula. Do you have any ideas of how you can resuscitate her LG B470 AT&T flip phone? And if you do, we're going to urge you to get in touch with us through...
don't call me.
Well, don't call her. Try nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
Yeah.
Any ideas whatsoever. Rest assured, we have thought of the rice thing. It seems to be a little more involved in that.
No, I think it's
But if you know where
rice.
Paula can get one or resuscitate her existing one, why, she'd really appreciate it. And it's time to move her straight forward into the 20th century again.
I'm missing that phone. It was the best. It had the best shape. It had a good shape, that phone.
It was just a regular flip phone, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it had a good shape. I got another flip phone that I don't like at all. It's
okay.
Square, and it sounds tinny. I don't like it. I mean, not okay. that my whole life is phones one way or the other, but I am passionate about that phone.
All right,
phone.
Well, hopefully other listeners can help, and maybe that help is going to come from Eastern or Northern Europe.
We're big there.
For some reason, we have discovered that we're very popular in Croatia. Where we are the 86th highest ranked comedy podcast.
Well, I'm not sure I'd call that very popular to begin with.
Well, that's against all the popular American comedy podcasts and all the, I'm sure, very popular Croatian comedy podcasts.
You know, I don't know anything about Croatia. I'm shamefully ignorant about Croatia. I don't picture, like, laughing Croatians.
Oh, they laugh.
Do they?
Oh, they do.
Oh.
I don't know much about Croatia either, except from the history books and the fact that they have a... few really good basketball players. They export basketball players.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's something they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
anyways,
we also have
86th. That's quite a position.
Well, we're and climbing, yeah. I'd assume.
Yeah, 86 with a rocket.
Yeah, and we also have a fan base in Moldova, we found out the other day.
Yeah, that is now do we know anything about how did we find out? Are we on a chart? Are we climbing?
Tony Anita Hull, I think we reported it just a week or two ago. Tony Anita Hull said that we were ranked somewhere pretty high on the charts in Moldova.
We have such a fabulous producer, Tony, that she just called Moldova.
And said, hey, do you like Paula Poundstone?
Yeah. And they said, not her comedy, but that podcast.
The podcast is good. The comedy,
not too much. Not the podcast. Adam Filmer is on every show.
They didn't say that.
They did.
All. They did?
Oh, yeah. That's a thing.
Well, that's
a thing.
We're pushing
you
this
know,
meme.
I think part of the reason that we've got this more international outreach
appeal, yeah.
is because I used to work at the International House of Pancakes.
I don't think that's it.
And... I used to serve the Croatian pancakes.
Really? What's a Croatian pancake, Paula Poundstone?
Well, it's thin.
Okay. It's a thin pancake. You got nothing here, dude.
It's a thin, serious pancake.
It's a thin and serious pancake. Does it brood? Is it a brooding pancake?
It's had some strife. No, there were no Croatian pancakes. You're right. There were Swedish pancakes, I think.
But you did. Oh, you know what? We're about to talk about Sweden, because you may recall that a Hungarian professor used our podcast to help teach English as a second language. And we actually interviewed that professor on this here program.
Yeah.
Well, in the same way, Swedish middle school teacher Tracy Shanken has introduced Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone to her class, and the middle school students recorded some observations and sent them over to us.
You know what's great to know is that education has gone to hell in every country.
Yeah, it's comforting.
Yeah. For a while, I thought it was just us.
Right.
But now that we're being used academically.
We're not falling behind.
In Sweden. Sweden.
Which you think of as a very refined and educated country.
I do.
And yet they're using you and me.
Yeah, well, maybe this is the outlier.
Would you like to hear some Swedish middle schoolers talking about our podcast?
Yeah, absolutely.
Here's Tracy Shanken asked them about me, Adam Felber.
Does anybody know who Adam Felber is?
No. Just he's always with Paula.
He's there every show.
Now... This canard that you've been spreading about me.
Those Swedish students are very observant.
Yeah, well, you've now spread this meme internationally that the only thing worth saying about me is that I'm on every show.
No one said it was the only thing worth saying about
you. It seems to be
you.
The only thing that gets said.
It's said frequently because people make note of it. Because
no,
the
it's said frequently because
Swedish
you push people.
Swedish students are very observant. It's not just meatballs. They are paying attention
to
the world around them.
Be that as it may.
Right, is there another one?
She asked the students what you and I need to know about Sweden.
Okay.
What do Paula and Adam need to know about Sweden?
Number one, we live in IKEA. It is the only thing we know.
No, we do not live in IKEA.
We eat meatballs for every meal.
No, we don't.
And we... praise Abba as a god.
Well, I'm going to say two things. Number one, that particular middle schooler has a future in podcasts or comedy, because that was really funny.
Yeah.
Also, he has to pick up the pace a little bit.
Yeah, he's a slow talker.
He's laconic. But then again, Swedes are laconic.
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
who
they
told
talk
you that?
Slowly.
Who said that Swedes were laconic?
I was told that by a Swede once. It took a week and a half to get the message to me.
Uh-huh. All right, so is there another one?
There's one more. She wanted to find out if they like our show in general.
Oh, boy. Well, keep in mind that we're 86th ranked in Croatia.
Right, but the Swedes care not a fig for Croatia, as you'll hear in this in this excerpt.
Alice, did you find Adam and Paula to be funny?
No, she
didn't. Someone's speaking for Alice.
That was Eira. Eira, did you find Adam and Paula to be funny?
No, I didn't understand what they said.
So what advice can you give them for all of the Europeans out there using the podcast to learn English?
Talk more slowly.
Did you hear that, Paula? You talked too quickly.
Okay. And now for our next segment.
I heard.
For our friends in Sweden.
We should have a section of the show now that's just comedy for Swedes.
Just really slow. I like that at the moment our fan base pops up in Sweden, we alienate them. Just like that. It took us
this
no time.
This wasn't a fan base. That was a class of students.
Who didn't like us.
This was foist upon them. It's not like the student came in and said, Could we, Mrs. What was her name again?
Shanken.
Could we, Mrs. Shanken, please listen to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone?
That was not
it was
the
other way around.
Yeah,
was,
and they were not happy.
And this was like some sort of corporal punishment.
You know, I'll take listeners even if it's compulsory.
Yeah. Because you know what? If we became more popular in Sweden and then they maybe took a class trip to Croatia, we could be 85th highest ranked.
In
Croatia.
Because they'd be in Croatia while downloading.
That's when you start getting the big advertising money.
That's exactly when it happens. Now, it's good to know that we've gone global, though. We're being used as a global educational tool.
Yeah,
and doing a podcast is fun for us, but there's more to it than that.
You know, that's right, Adam. As you know, I have lots of fun doing this show. And I had to ask myself a couple of months ago, though, is it enough just to have fun? And the answer was no. I also need to improve my vocabulary. So I've been working on a new word each show. I'm still not making any money, but when I'm behind on my rent, I'm able to say to my landlord, although I have no cash, I can tell you that the word stoop means a cloth wrung out of hot water and applied to a body part. That should make us even, Stephen.
That was our word last week, I believe.
Yeah, stoop.
Stoop, S-T-U-P-E.
It's a compress. This week's word, Adam, is kith.
Oh, I know that one.
It's a noun that means familiar friends, neighbors, or relatives. Here, I'll use it in a sentence. Each week, I meet with my kith at Ray Horseman Studios to create another episode of Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Well, that's a terrific word.
You know, I looked it up in two different dictionaries, and one of them said familiar friends, and the other one said acquaintances.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the first dictionary version.
Familiar friends.
Yeah.
I think that's the one.
I don't consider my acquaintances my kith, for heaven's sakes.
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't give them my kith cards that I give out to people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There are people I just bumped into. You don't get to be my kith right away.
Now, I have to tell you, I knew the word kith, but I have never heard it used without the words and kin.
You know,
added to it.
In one definition, it was kith and kin, and then the next one was just kith.
Well,
and
kin is family members. Okay, right. Friends, so it's friends and family.
You're right, but then if kith is relatives, then it's redundant. That's like saying my relatives
and
my
relatives. Right,
my relatives and my friends and relatives. I've heard it in the Thank You Very Much song. In
Oliver?
No, Thank You Very Much doesn't come from Oliver.
Oh no, it's Scrooge.
It's
from Scrooge, the musical. Yes.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite Christmas.
Kith and kin is a phrase in that song.
Yeah,
that's good to know.
Yeah.
I'm thinking that some enterprising mobile phone company, maybe your beloved AT&T, can start instituting a kith and kin plan instead of
a
friends and family plan because it means the same but sounds better.
Yeah. No, they're working on their stupid. That's the power of and. Doesn't even mean anything.
Power of and.
Yeah, that's the AT&T.
Well, it is the only major wireless company with an and in their name.
Yeah,
so I guess
that's the power of and.
Yeah.
And it's not and, it's an ampersand, isn't it? Isn't that what that's called?
But doesn't an ampersand stand for and?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, we've exhausted that, haven't we?
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
What?
Aren't you going to say what's coming up?
Yes, I am. Coming up, iconic actress Lily Tomlin coaches Paula on her audition skills. A new segment of Outside the Actor's Studio is next when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there were some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
first sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. and I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic
walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paul, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
See that girl, watch that scene, dig in the dancing queen.
Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is brought to you in part by Away, makers of world-class luggage. Away was founded by two friends from New York who found themselves at JFK Airport with dead phones, delayed flights, and a bright idea. Luggage with power. Thus, the Away carry-on was born. I personally love my Away bag. When my family visited Disneyland last week, remember we were talking about that on the show, we took the Away bag with us, which is a great bag, and we were able to pack with it. And then I took the little battery, the lithium-ion battery, out of the luggage and just carried it with me with our phones and our water bottles at Disneyland. And both my wife and I had our phones charged all day.
Wow, that's nice.
Yeah.
I love my Away bag.
Do you?
Yeah, I got the big kind.
Yes.
So the big kind does not have the charger because it goes in the belly of the plane.
Right, when
you can't have the battery in the belly of the plane.
Okay.
So what it has that's really great, A, is the compression.
Compression technology.
So one half of my big bag I use to carry the merchandise that I sell on the road, and I use that compression to squish in a large selection of remarkably soft tri-poly blend t-shirts with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back.
Yeah, that would be your Paula Poundstone t-shirts. Yes.
The Paula Poundstone t-shirts, yes, which are made from a tri-poly blend, which is what makes them remarkably soft.
Okay, they're not a tri-poly blend, but it's interesting because there's no such thing. But it is interesting that you bring that up because these bags are made with polycarbonate.
I didn't realize they were made with polycarbonate. What a freakish coincidence.
It's a very good coincidence.
Oh, my gosh. This is what makes us popular in Croatia.
Yeah. And I'll add that if anything breaks, Away will fix or replace it to you for life.
Wow.
That's either the life of the bag or the life of you. I'm not quite sure which they mean. There's a 100-day trial. You live with it. You vibe with it. You travel with it. You Instagram it. And at any point you decide it's not for you, return it for a full refund.
Wow, that's
no
nice.
Questions asked.
That's great. No questions asked. Come on. There's got to be something they want to know.
Like, how can we provide you with more excellent customer service today?
Something like that.
Maybe they will ask that question. But for $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com/Paula20. And use the promo code Paula20 during checkout. That's $20 off an already kind of amazingly affordable suitcase by going to awaytravel.com/Paula20 and using the promo code Paula20. At checkout.
I just want to tell you one more thing, which is I've had wheelie bags in the past.
Yes.
These wheels are incredibly smooth.
They're really great wheels. Yeah. They've solved a lot of wheel problems.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A lot of times.
A lot of wheel world problems.
When I'm going through Los Angeles Airport, a lot of times I just make time on the other. I'll spot another traveler ahead of me. And just zip past him
because he's got a bum wheel and you've got an Away suitcase.
Yeah, because my wheels are so much better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now
they'll wave their fist at me. You Away bag person.
Wow.
Yeah. Have you ever seen that? Yeah.
I have never seen that happen in an airport, but yeah, I believe that you have to some degree.
Yeah, I have.
That's awaytravel.com/Paula20.
Working 9 to 5, what a way to make a living, barely getting by. It's all taking and no giving.
Thank you, house band Jamie Chamberlain. You know, for an opera singer, you've got some range there, and I think you're a soprano, and that felt a little low for you, right?
It was a little belty.
It was a little belty.
Friend.
I loved it.
I'm not familiar with that term, belty.
It was belty,
it's
the one who belts.
It's a musical theater term.
One who belts?
Yes.
Oh, boy, you broke. Yeah, you really learned that definition. What does it mean, the theater term?
Well, I will say this. So it's when you're singing in what's called the chest voice commonly, and it's typically used in musical theater. Uh-huh. Whereas in opera, you're more likely to be singing in your head voice, which is that higher register. Yeah.
But she was belting.
Yeah. In comedy, I just have a lot of phlegm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what makes you such a qualified comedian.
I have such a hard time getting past my... I'm constantly in some form of phlegm negotiation.
Yes.
Yeah.
From coughing to throat clearing.
I do have a chronic cough.
Gargling.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do it all.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're a multi-tooled comedian.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what people come back for over and over again.
And I understand you're going to be taking that phlegm on the road sometime soon, right?
I am taking that phlegm on the road. That's right, because I still can't nail my auditions for TV and movie roles. I continue to do performances as a comedian. That's not entirely true. I love to be a comic. For instance, I'll be in Medford, Massachusetts on June 21st at the Chevalier Theater. And I'll be in Wilmington, North Carolina on June 22nd at the Wilson Center. And even if I got a television or a movie job, I would still do those jobs.
Yeah, I know you love playing them. But I bet you'd like to actually book the jobs you audition for.
It would be good. I've never gotten a job from auditioning.
Right. And we've been trying to fix this on the show, as you remember.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And I'm really coming along.
Yeah. I mean, we had Bill Irwin here to coach you and Fred Willard.
And we had casting director. Jeannie Bacharach.
Yep.
And each one of them saw a good deal of promise.
But it hasn't resulted in any roles yet.
No, it's not paying the bills.
Okay,
but,
well, tonight we have someone here who can help. She's a brilliant actress, writer, and producer. She's an American treasure. She won the Tony Award for Best Actress in a Play. She was an Oscar nominee for her role in Nashville. She's won 6 Emmy Awards and received both the Screen Actors Guild Award for Lifetime Achievement and, in 2014, a Kennedy Center Honor. Please welcome Lily Tomlin.
Galaxy glue, what would we do without galaxy glue and Lily Tomlin too?
Lily, thank you for coming on our show.
Well, it's a great pleasure.
It's a great pleasure to have you here.
Were you so nervous before you came? When you were driving down Miranda Street, were you thinking, like, you know, if they could see me now?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very fancy.
That did occur to me.
Yeah.
I think that whenever I drive down Miranda Street.
Yeah.
So, Lily, as you've heard, Paula wants to up her game from an audition standpoint.
Well, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, today could be my day, Lily.
So obviously you've had many an audition. Have you had many difficult ones?
Yeah, I've had my fair share.
Uh-huh.
What did you first audition for? What was your first audition? Do you remember?
Oh, God, I don't recall that. Maybe something in college. I don't.
Where did you go to college?
I sort of went to Wayne State University in Detroit.
I didn't realize there was a big academic background.
Well, I don't. She said, I sort of went.
Yeah. What does that mean, I sort of went?
I hung out a lot at the Union and talked philosophy.
Did your parents Photoshop you onto an athlete's body like that lady did to get her kid in college?
No, my mother had very little interest in whether I went to college or not.
Sounds like neither of you did. So do any audition stories really stand out in your mind?
Well, this one was pretty horrific because I think all actors will understand this. I read for Lovers and Other Strangers, and Renee Taylor and Joe Bologna were both there.
Oh, wow.
And they are the writers, of course. And Charles Grodin, whom I later was in Shrinking Woman with.
Yes.
Charles Grodin was the director. And I was assigned to the part where the girl just sits for like 5 minutes and listens to her fiancé ranting about how the wedding is off.
Uh-huh.
They're not made for each other. They're just not going to work out. And just on and on and on, every excuse he can think of in the world. And I don't say anything until the very end. And I say, did you pick up your tux?
So, and that was your audition?
Well, yeah, because my audition, I said, that's what I said when I picked up the paper. And so when I sat there, supposedly having been roused from sleep, you can imagine how many expressions I tried out on in the void of that 5 minutes.
As you were listening.
As I was listening.
Oh, my Lord.
And so, And there was just deathly silence. And Chuck dragged his chair up next. And I didn't know Chuck at this. I knew him as an actor. And he dragged his chair up beside me and he said, "Honey, have you ever acted before?"
So I take it you went a little bit big then.
I didn't know what to do.
But so wait, did he say that after you had read the line or while you were making the expressions during the 5 minutes ranting?
No, he was very cruel. And he let me go through.
I love that. And you know, what I really love about it is that Charles Grodin is so well known for having that completely immobile face when he's...
Yeah, and he
sometimes
did,
when he's talking.
That's how he delivered it to me, exactly. Maybe he was working on in some other... Maybe he was going to put it into the play.
Yeah, maybe.
But,
did you get the role?
No. I didn't even get, he barely recognized me when he showed up on the set of Shrinking Woman.
And he didn't remember?
No, he thought, he said, "Oh, you must be kidding."
Oh, yeah.
But I sobbed in there's a big, this is the day of phone booths.
Yeah, right. So you went into a phone booth and cried afterwards?
Yeah,
I don't see you as the crying in a phone booth type.
Well, you didn't see me as an actress type either.
Yeah.
Showing up and auditioning. It's grueling, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that grind of just
sucks.
Just being put on, because I'm married to an actor, so I know what she goes through. Just getting ready, making it perfect, showing up, not getting it. It's just a terrible cycle.
And there are no phone booths anymore, so you just have to cry right out in the open.
Right.
So if I were to say to you, "Have you picked up your tux?" Do you have like a PTSD response to that?
No.
You've forgotten. It's water under the bridge. Were there any other? All right, so that was an early one.
Any other bad auditions?
Yeah.
Well, because I would be sitting across the desk from a producer type who was going to put me on a talk show. Maybe. the characters I did at that time, like Ernestine, I had not been on Laugh-In yet.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
so Ernestine would come out of this, out of my face, and Madame Lupe, the world's oldest living beauty expert.
Right.
I wait a minute.
That must
I
have been somewhat surprising to your interlocutor there.
Well,
right?
they were not. It was more than surprising. Somehow I think in the old days they used to. This is quite a few years ago. You understand?
Right.
Yeah.
They would, I think they used to have a buzzer they could press under their desk.
To get you escorted out?
And yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's really funny.
The secretary would come in and say, "There's an emergency call on the phone," and they say, "Come with me," and they take me with them.
Was there a part of you that wanted to say, in retrospect, someday you're going to find this audition delightful?
I didn't have the old comedic cheekiness in those days.
Right.
Yeah. No, it was right to the phone booth for you after that. Probably the assistant came in and said, "There's an emergency phone call. Lily, please come this way to the phone booth."
Just brought you to your crying booth.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. When you say it was like before Laugh-In, before Ernestine,
Life before Ernestine.
I do vaguely remember life before Ernestine, but it just doesn't seem right that there should have been life before Ernestine. It was so brilliant.
I don't think there was a life before. I mean, not in Ernestine's life.
No. Just, it was.
She was.
So you had done those characters before Laugh-In.
Yeah.
Where did you develop them? Like
well,
on
not
stage
very,
as a stand-up?
Well, at the Improv, maybe.
Right. Uh-huh.
When Bud would deign to let a comedian go on.
Uh-huh.
Because in those days, you had to be vouched for if you were a female comedian.
Oh, you had to be vouched for?
Yeah, like
by a man?
Some reputable man presence who wrote or did comedy.
Had to say, "This is Lily, she's with me."
That makes it sound almost like there was some sort of systemic inequality between the genders back then.
Oh, I wouldn't guess that.
It sounds like it. The way you phrased it sounded like that.
That's hard to imagine.
I'm sure that was unintentional, but that's exactly
what it
came
across.
Yeah, that's
hard to imagine. And so you would go out and maybe do like a tits and ass kind of a thing?
Yeah.
That's the genesis of Ernestine, really, is that kind of tits and ass thing.
Kiss my ass.
Yes, the earliest incarnation of Ernestine involved tassels.
Man, that is nice.
Well, okay. But we have to focus on
We're going to get to this. And you know, I'm just
career.
So overawed and psyched to have you here that I've been stalling. You know, we did meet. We met at Paula's house, and you beat me at ping pong.
Oh, did you know that?
No.
It's true.
You did.
It's true.
I would never beat a man at ping pong.
You did.
Yeah, you had a male partner, and he vouched for you. And that's...
You did, in fact, have a male partner.
That's how you even got through the door. Because I so believe in sexism that I support it, even in my own home, as a woman.
All right, let's get to it. And now, for a masterclass in how to audition, let's go to Outside the Actor's Studio.
God, I hope I get it. I hope I get it. How many people does he need? God, I hope I get it.
Welcome to Outside the Actor's Studio. Tonight, iconic actress Lily Tomlin will coach Paula Poundstone on an audition for a role. Lily, Paula has brought in sides for a role she's up for. We'd like you to read the scene with her and then offer your coaching tips. How does that sound?
Sounds really good.
Okay. Well,
I'm nervous. Let me just say I'm nervous. Did you used to feel nervous before you auditioned?
Yes.
Do you have any advice about that?
I would say you just say to yourself quietly with an inner voice, you say, I'm not nervous. I own the world.
Wow. You know, that's somewhat similar to the advice that Bill Irwin gave.
Did he?
The internal confidence that I'm bringing something that you need is kind of, I'm sensing a theme.
I'm not surprised because I coached him.
Yeah. That's interesting because what Bill Irwin specifically said was that you should have an inner voice that says, Lily Tomlin's not nervous. She owns the world.
Right. That was specifically what he said.
Sure how that would help me, but good. Yeah. He says that himself.
Okay. So now I'm going to set up the scene. I've got a lengthy intro to the scene right here. I'm going to set it up.
Well, but let me just point out that one of the problems that I have with auditioning often is that when they give the description of the character, A, oftentimes it's nothing like me. And B, I mean, I guess that's where the acting part's required. But B, I'm not sure what to play. I don't know how to play the things that they've put in the character description.
Let me just begin with that. So that's why I'm going to read these character descriptions.
Yeah, exactly.
Because as an accomplished actor, Lily will know what to pull out of the character descriptions, and
Precisely.
You'll be clueless.
Yeah.
I notice that just looking ahead that I have a role in this one.
Yeah.
Did you write out a character description for the for my role?
I did not.
You did not.
I just said that it would be here.
Okay.
The detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me down there my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof, wherever you get your podcasts, and follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega. A comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he f*** but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about that, the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here you go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're
Jesus,
the best.
You the best. Okay, never mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Okay, well, here we go. Here are the sides. Paula is reading for the role of Marta. Lily, if you will kindly read the role of Shirley, I will read the waiter and the stage directions. We begin with our character descriptions. Marta is an independent woman. She is strong, funny, and really into pugs. She's quirky. She is single and certainly doesn't feel she needs a man. But if love is in the next chapter, she won't close the book. Shirley, on the other hand, is a proud woman, used to nice things. She doesn't assimilate well into the general public. She's quirky, too, because the acorn didn't fall far from the tree. Her husband, Bruce, died 2 years ago. He was quirky. Marta and her mother, Shirley, sit across from one another in a booth in Tony's Diner. A waiter delivers the food. Here's your vegetable plate heavy on the mashed potatoes, and here's your filet mignon.
Shouldn't it be thicker than this?
I don't know. It's the first time I've served it.
Well, could you ask the chef?
I'll be right back, ma'am.
Mom, this is a diner. I told you not to order filet mignon.
Well, it was on the menu. Your father and I used to love filet mignon, but all alone at home. I should have brought my glasses. That I hope they're about $6.50.
That's a good note to me. To make sure I have my glasses.
Be sure you
and you
those.
Do have your glasses, so as an actor, you're winning there.
I'm very picky. You know, what am I playing?
All right, you want to start? Why don't we...
You want to start the whole scene over?
Do you want to?
Yeah, sure. Aren't we just rehearsing? Okay.
We're rehearsing. Absolutely.
Is like the casting director's in this room right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the casting director's in this room right now.
Is it Bonnie?
Yes, it's Bonnie. It's Captain Crinkle.
Let's start this again.
Okay.
Okay. A waiter delivers their food.
Okay.
Here's your vegetable plate heavy on the mashed potatoes, and here's your filet mignon.
Shouldn't it be thicker than this?
I don't know. It's the first time I've served it.
Well, could you ask the chef?
I'll be right back, ma'am.
Mom, this is a diner. I told you not to order filet mignon.
Well, it was on the menu. Your father and I used to love filet mignon, but all alone at home, I hardly ever get the chance to have it anymore.
Ma'am, the cook says we don't have a chef.
I don't think this is one of your hardly ever chances.
Shirley puts her napkin in her lap, and Marta notices a bright pink bandage on her mother's finger.
What happened to your hand?
Oh, it's nothing. It's nothing. I got a little cut on it. It's just that the location of the cut causes it to rub on everything.
Mom, did you ever think that you get all these little injuries so that you can wear self-adherent bandages because it reminds you of Dad? Why not just wear a locket?
No, I never thought that I got a cut in a proper location or a poor one. And I remember your father in everything I do. I don't need to wear the self-adherent bandages that he invented to remember him with love and appreciation, which is something you might try a little more of. Your father wanted more for you, practically penniless, eating in diners. Why don't you come home to live in the house he built for us? It's what he'd want. It's what I want. I earned that house, and I took care of that man in every way a woman could.
Mom, I'm trying to eat. I don't want anything that came from his money. It's tainted.
He revolutionized first aid with his self-adherent bandage. It wraps around and clings to itself.
He was against seatbelts. He used to tell me that safety was bad for the economy.
He loved you. He never missed one of your softball games.
He loved money. He used to yell, "Slide!" when the batter got a walk.
What an awful thing to say. How could you? You don't remember what the world was like when you could get a cut on your finger in a poor location, and your only solution was a small Band-Aid that fell off within seconds of putting it on.
Mom, he didn't pay his workers a living wage.
It was a living wage for Ohio. There's not that much to do in Ohio, and they were lucky to have those jobs. How hard is it to make a sticky bandage? It was having the idea. That was the hard part.
He did pass something on to me that you could be proud of. I work hard for a living, and I don't want any unfair advantages. Because of his greed, I want to make America a place where opportunity is evenly distributed.
I see they have banana pudding. I wonder how their flaming bananas Foster is.
And scene. Oh, just lovely. Lovely. Thank you, Miss Poundstone. That'll be all. Miss Tomlin, please stay.
No, you know what? I realized I gave you the wrong information, which is technically you're the casting director, because you know how they always read the other line with you.
Well, if she's a casting director, she's the best acting casting director I've ever encountered. Yeah. Because usually they read pretty flat. And I have to say, the character of Shirley just came across beautifully.
It did.
And now that we have to go to your performance. So, Lily, how do you think Paula did? And what could she do differently?
Well, I think she's probably chosen the best pathway. She's herself.
Right.
And she expresses herself in an extremely comedic way. And she doesn't even have to write material because she just makes it up as she goes.
Right.
I've been to many, many of her concerts.
But we're talking about for this role, not to be a stand-up comic.
Maybe you should give up your hope for these roles.
All right. I would tend to agree with you on this, but for the sake of this bit, we are supposed to offer her advice.
Well, she could get her own. From her great talent as a comedian, she could eventually acquire her own performance show.
Oh, yes.
Her own sort of variety. Well, variety's coming back, I think.
Yeah, variety's coming back. But
really?
I think her advice is don't quit your night job. Yeah.
And then you would be able
to. This is not filling me with hope.
You don't need to be filled with hope. You need to be filled with like a revenge.
Okay.
Revenge.
Are there any notes you can give Paula that might improve her?
Well,
just glancing back over the script.
Well, clearly you didn't think I was very good. So what do you think would make me better?
I thought you were wonderful, but
no, it's a little late now. You can't say that now. I believe you were brutally honest in your first few seconds. All right, so tell me what you think I could do to bring it up.
You should maybe Paula should have been the character's name.
That has nothing to do with it. No, the character's name is Marta. All right, so you get the sides, right, as an actress.
But I don't think an actress named Shirley would name her child Marta.
Okay, yeah. But you get the sides. So is that what you do when you go in?
She's critiquing your writing more than your acting.
Yeah. You go in on an audition and tell them to change the script? Would that be effective?
Lily doesn't seem to want to talk about your acting.
No, so I'm supposed to go into an audition and go, look, I don't think, if I'm reading for Marta and my mother's Shirley, that doesn't make any sense to me. Because why would Shirley name her kid Marta?
I think that would be one approach.
Now, have you ever on an audition gone in and sort of bedeviled them about the script itself?
But I've had a job.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying when you were auditioning, not when you were already given, not when you already had the job.
Well, if you're auditioning, you might not have enough time to, you know, rail against the script.
Right. But I mean, would that be the right dynamic to go to a casting director and say, you know, I don't think the names are right on the script. Would that be the
You know what I'm loving? This exchange reminds me of like some kind of war movie where you're the young private who's just had his legs blown off, right? And Lily's the sergeant. And you're going like, Sarge, how does it look? Will I ever run again? And she's just doing anything she can to not break the news to you that you don't have a chance.
All right. Lily Tomlin, you give me one fucking note. You tell me one thing I could do to improve my reading.
Okay.
And we'll... Yeah. See, this is why you don't do casting. This is exactly why you don't do casting. Do you do casting?
You may be right. I'm not certain.
Well, do you think we should try the scene again? Maybe with...
I don't know. We could do part of it, maybe.
You could have my character. You could talk like my character, and I'll talk like yours.
Do you want to try that?
You'll see how great it'll be.
I don't know if it will be. No, because I can't outdo what you did. And no, I'm not reading for... Have you ever done that? Have you ever gone in on one role and then jettisoned to another?
See, here's the secret to acting. Is you just have to go with the moment.
You go with the moment.
Right.
Unless you've really built and created a role and layered it, you know, many, many times with subtlety.
Yeah.
And motivation.
Right, and motivation.
So then otherwise you just pull out a silly voice and you let that take you wherever it takes you, and pretty soon it'll make some strange emphasis that will draw a laugh from the audience.
Well, I feel like you accomplished that with Shirley.
Yeah, you did accomplish that with Shirley.
You really did manage to.
Well, I'm revealing the secret.
Oh, that was a secret
that you were using.
All right.
Do you want to try to use that secret? Maybe use a funny voice.
I don't think it'll work in the martyr role.
We could try it.
In the martyr role.
Not martyr. Marta.
Marta. No, the martyr role on this podcast is mine exclusively. I think that's clear. By the way, Lily, I have to ask, what did you think of the waiter? Did you feel like you got to know him a little bit? Like,
well, you see how he just used a funny voice? He just...
Yeah.
Jack. All right.
All right, let's try
all right,
this.
All right.
All right, we're going to try this
all
again.
Right, fuck you. Let's take it from... let's take it from Mom, This Is a Diner.
Okay.
All right, ready?
All right, so this is after the waiters exited and the audience
and this
applauded.
Is after my notes from the inimitable Lily Tomlin. Mom, this is a diner. I told you not to order the filet mignon.
Well, it was on the menu. Your father and I used to love filet mignon, but all alone at home. I hardly ever get the chance to have it anymore.
Ma'am, the cook says... We don't have a chef.
I don't think this is one of your hardly ever chances.
Shirley puts her napkin in her lap, and Marta notices a bright pink bandage on her mother's finger.
What happened to your hand?
Oh, it's nothing. I got a little cut on it. It's just that the location of the cut causes it to rub on everything.
Mom, did you ever think that you get all these little injuries so you can wear self-adherent bandages because it reminds you of Dad? Why not just wear a locket?
No, I never thought of putting my cut finger in a locket.
All right, we're going to stop right there.
I tried your solution.
Yeah, but here's what I noticed. Yeah. Just as an outside observer, I'm not the casting director here. It's going to be Lily who decides whether you get the part.
Yeah.
But what I noticed is that you put on a voice that was high-pitched but somewhat indistinct character-wise.
Yeah.
Whereas in Lily's read, she strengthened and deepened the choice that she'd made on her first read, and it was even stronger, while doing text that was actually very expository. It was a remarkable performance.
Thank you, thank you.
I think she really gave me a bum steer.
I thought that was an improvement.
I'm not sure I did. All right.
So, well, Lily, is Paula going to get the role, this role in this audition?
I'm not really the last arbiter of who makes a choice.
Oh, there's a producer involved as well? There's a producer?
There's a producer involved.
Okay, what if... okay. What if we're way into global warming?
This is a writer's medium, though.
What's a writer's medium?
Is this for television?
Yeah.
I hope. So I think you'd probably have the choice. You wrote it, didn't you?
She actually wrote that part for herself, and yet it came out like that.
Yeah. And yet it came out like that. Not the kinds of comments.
No, here, I'll show you how to do it.
Okay.
Okay, like, you pretend that Marta has a child that she adopted.
Okay.
And
He's a
very big, strapping, handsome young man.
Okay.
And he has what's called his, like, technological damage. Now, read that like you want that boy in your home. You want him back happy, but he won't give up his gizmos. His electronic gizmos.
This is a little like...
feeling a little close?
Yeah, I was feeling a little close. This is like the descriptions that they give you that you don't know how to play it, or I don't know how to play it. You know, when
I think what Lily was just advising you to do is so bring some of yourself into that role, whatever they write in the character descriptions, bring yourself.
Yeah, that's true. Bring some motive, something that you can lean on. Like, if I had to do it, I don't know how I would do it myself. You have to think about it, and you have to kind of like...
Because I gave you the quirkier role.
You did.
Yeah, that was your choice.
Yeah. We're all, you know...
We could have switched roles.
No, I didn't need to switch roles. No, it's perfect. No, I'm Marta. There's nothing that's going to stop me from being Marta.
I guess, but we might be moving in a different direction with that role, actually, Paula.
Yeah.
Are you able to like just make this program as long as you want?
We really are. It's the wonder of podcasting. But you're right. We have waxed over long. So thank you, Lily Tomlin,
for sharing
your experience on this episode of Outside the Actors Studio.
Thank you.
Well struck. Coming up next, Lily Tomlin starred on Laugh-In. We have our laugh off. See what I did there? Which laugh that you hear in the background of Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone makes you furious? And which one do you find endearing? Help us solve the mystery. And also explore the geography of coughing. That's coming up right after this.
Oh, God, I need this job. Please, God, I need this job. I've got to get this job.
The Cat of the Week is Hildegard from Portland, Oregon.
Meow. Meow. Meow.
Wow, we are covered in class. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is sponsored in part by HelloFresh. Oh, I love these guys. HelloFresh makes conquering the kitchen a reality with deliciously simple recipes, fresh, pre-measured ingredients, and easy-to-follow six-step pictured recipe cards, which are delivered to your door each week. All meals come together within 30 minutes maximum, and there are flexible plans to choose from, classic, veggie, and family.
We get the veggie.
Oh, and we get the family.
And it is easy to follow. It's very easy to follow. It would have to be for me to do it.
Right.
I'm not much in
the
kitchen.
You don't cook.
I don't have the attention span for cooking, but this is, so far I haven't managed to screw anything up.
One of the things I really like about HelloFresh is that you don't cook at all. I cook all the time, and yet we both feel quite fulfilled by what we're getting from HelloFresh.
It's delicious.
I don't feel like I'm not cooking. I mean,
no.
I'm learning.
Yeah, and it's delicious. Me and my daughter, Allie, I forget which one we made most recently. I forget what it was. Have veggies in it.
Yeah, you'd think.
But it's delicious. And they send you everything. And then I think I've added my own butter. But I use the fake butter.
Right.
Because
on any given week, if you're not getting HelloFresh, the extent of the cooking you do is putting fake butter on toasted raisin bread, right?
I make a lot of raisin toast.
Yeah,
I do.
And you put fake butter on it.
I put fake butter on it, and then when I'm really living high, I have a toasted with fake butter, peanut butter and jelly on raisin toast.
You see, now this is why I think HelloFresh is great for you, because in some ways it might
be
all that's keeping you alive.
They have the picture recipe that shows how to make the peanut butter and jelly on the raisin toast.
Oh, they sent you a peanut butter and jelly on raisin toast recipe? Funny, I didn't get that card.
Yeah, it's the vegetarian.
Yeah.
It really is delicious. And again, you know, because I'm not really all that facile in the kitchen, it doesn't take very long at all.
No, it really doesn't.
And I appreciate that because I don't want to spend a long time in the kitchen.
Right.
I have a picture of Lily Tomlin from like a program, and it's just taped on my cabinet door in my kitchen. And it says, there are a billion and one reasons to honor Lily Tomlin.
Really?
Yeah. It's just taped up there.
Well, you know what? Now there's a billion and two, because I thought she was sensational tonight.
Yeah, she's great. You know, my guess is she's going to come back to me time and again and ask me to write more Shirley for her.
Yeah. And you know what? I'd want to hear more from that character.
Yeah.
Though I do have to say, I'm wondering how much HelloFresh loves how we've segued into talk of Lily Tomlin during this advertisement.
Well, I just want to say this. I can't say that Lily does or doesn't eat HelloFresh. But she looks good.
She does.
Yeah. So it's very possible.
Quite possible.
That
because,
she's eating the HelloFresh.
Because, you know, they do have
really
fresh ingredients.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So for a total of $80 off in your first month, that's $20 off your first four boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/Poundstone80 and enter promo code Poundstone80. It's that simple, and you will love it.
That is simple.
That's HelloFresh.com/Poundstone80, promo code Poundstone80 for a total of $80 off your first month. And it really happens, I know this for a fact, because a friend of mine in my neighborhood whose daughters go to school with my son went ahead, entered that code, and got $80 off her first four boxes, and she loved it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and what are you going to do with that extra $80? Goes right into the college fund.
Goes right into the college fund.
That's terrific.
Marty said.
Thank you, house band Jamie Chamberlain.
Adam, there is a division among our audience.
It's about the laughter in the background of our show from our tiny but powerful studio audience. To be clear, we don't have a studio audience. Sitting here in the Ray Horseman Studios each week are just our guests, head of security, Jonah Knuckles Glickman, and producers Bonnie Captain Crinkle Burns, and Tony, nicknamed to be filled in later, Anita Hull. It is the laughter of Bonnie and Tony that is the issue. Listeners love it or hate it. And here's the thing, Paula. Tony and Bonnie don't agree on whose laugh is loved and or hated.
Uh-huh.
And we don't know, because our listeners submit reviews and texts, we don't know if the laugh that certain audience members hate is the same laugh as the one that certain audience members love. But even now, as you and I are talking,
yes,
distractingly enough, across the table, Bonnie and Tony are signaling each other as to whose laugh they think is the one.
Yeah, they're both passionate about their own laugh. They both are so excited about perhaps being the laugh that people love.
And let me talk about some of our listeners who've weighed in on this. They've posted reviews on the Maximum Fun site and on Apple iTunes. One reviewer, Newbie Doo, said, "Overall, I enjoy the show. However, there's some woman in the studio who laughs very loudly and unnaturally. Who is this? Why do we need to hear someone in the room laughing as if cueing us to laugh too? It's just weird. Sometimes I dread her laughter so much I turn off the pod."
Wow. That is laughter dread.
Yeah.
Huh. Boy.
You've got one there.
And someone identified as Grumpy's wife wrote, "Love everything except the laugh track. Her laughter is annoying." Let me just back up and say this.
Yeah, we got to back up.
There is no fucking canned laugh. There is no laugh track.
Yeah, as
though if
you were—
There's a couple people in the room that we work with, mm-hmm, and they laugh.
As though if we were going to purchase a laugh track, we'd purchase the one where one woman is laughing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we're cutting corners here at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, but that sounds ridiculous.
That's what kept 70s television going.
Yeah, that one lady laughing.
Remember when MASH, MASH was sort of revolutionary for not having a laugh track? Mm-hmm. Because for years, that's what comedy shows did. They put in fake laughter, they got laughter from somewhere, and they put it in. And then MASH did episodes with no laugh track.
They broke them all.
And then slowly, they worked their way back into a laugh track by having just that one woman.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one woman laughing.
That one woman laughing on all
those
episodes.
And we happen to get her on our show.
It's amazing. Doesn't come cheap
either.
All
those years laughing.
Now, we got some emails, too. Allie wrote, "I love your podcast with Adam, but please mute the woman in the background with the very annoying laughter. She ruins the jokes." Whereas John Warner wrote with a question. "During the show, there is the frequent sound in the background of a girl laughing. I was wondering, one, is it a real person or canned laughter? John, see our last note. Two, if real, who that person was. Three, and could she teach my wife to laugh at my jokes, assuming, of course, that they are funny?" We're not going to assume that, John. "Four, if not, maybe you could somehow sell her laughter on your website, and I could play it when I make jokes and my wife doesn't laugh. It would make me feel so much better."
Wow. Boy, that is a low bar.
Yeah.
Low bar for feeling better.
Yeah, but, you know, he finds...
just having taped laughter.
He finds either Tony or Bonnie's laugh delightful.
Yeah.
And other people find Tony or Bonnie's laugh infuriating.
Yeah. It's ruined a lot of lives,
it's the most polarizing thing on our show.
Yeah, people were uplifted by the comedy on the show until they heard that laugh.
And then they had to pull over just because they were going to lay an egg of anger.
Yeah, they ripped that iPhone out of their car.
Yeah, turned off their pod. All right, listeners, we have a conundrum. So whose laughter are you really responding to? Captain Crinkle or Tony Anita Hull? Mm-hmm. We decided to have a laugh-off.
Or Phyllis Diller.
Thank God she's not here. We're going to play you the two laughs.
I won't tell
you who's laughing. I love Phyllis Diller, too. But, you know, as a laugh track, she wouldn't work. I rest my case. All right. So sound engineer Anthony, and I know that makes you sound like a character on Mr. Rogers. Anthony, could you please play laughter clip number one? Okay. So that background laughter is either Tony or Bonnie. I know who it is. And now, could you please play us laughter clip number two? And that one is either Bonnie or Tony. So, this is what we're going to do. It's brilliant. Are you ready?
Yeah.
You go to our Facebook page, the Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone Facebook page, and we'll have those two clips there, each in its separate little entry. And all we want our listeners to do is listen to one of those mystery laughs, and if it delights you, click the heart icon. And if it enrages you, click the angry face icon and do that for both of them. And if you don't, if it doesn't affect you emotionally, feel free to just put a quip in there or something, make a comment. But we really want to get a sense of who is delighting you and who is annoying you, and is it the same person?
And keep in mind, either one of these laughers could be the, what do they call it, keynote speaker at your graduation this spring.
Right.
Keep that in mind.
Right.
Yeah.
That could definitely happen.
The person, the commencement speaker.
The commencement speaker.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Either one is available.
The commencement laugher.
For a commencement speech.
Yeah. Yeah. So which one will you prefer to have?
Yeah.
I'm very interested to see how this ends up.
When Lily graduated from Wayne State, wasn't it? Wayne State?
She never graduated. She said she went there a little.
Yeah. Yeah. Phyllis Diller did the commencement speech.
And what'd she sound like, Paula? Okay. Now, there's another issue that comes up for this show.
And that's my coughing. Now, I admit.
Yeah, our show is a weekly symphony of coughing and laughing.
I have a chronic cough. I've had it for 30 years or something. And
right.
Sound engineer Anthony has asked me to say, give me a moment before I cough.
Right.
Give me a moment.
Yeah. That, well, you can do that, though, right?
It's a little hard, honestly. I mean, give me a moment. I'm choking.
You're saying that the cough is so spontaneous that you don't
it's
have time to
ask for a moment. It's a very spontaneous cough. Give me a moment. What we need is a phone booth.
That's for crying only.
It's a very noisy studio, given how few people are in here.
It's ridiculous.
There's coughing. There's laughing. They're going to put the high-speed railroad through here.
Yeah, and we got Captain Crinkle, who is her own symphony of extraneous noises all by herself.
She's just picking up paper now
She just picked up some paper. And not only that, if you'll notice, it's not like your script, Paula, because what's your script? It's pieces of paper. Look at hers. It's folded.
Hers is folded to get double
to get maximum
emphasis.
Sound out of it when she rifles through it.
And also, what she likes to do is put bubble wrap in between the pages.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing missing in this is the Three Stooges snoring, you know.
If you want to comment on any of the bodily noises made in this podcast, you can write us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com or visit us on that Facebook page and vote. That's at Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. That's where you can find behind-the-scenes videos and pictures, participate in some serious research polls, and we just might read one of your posts on the air, like we just done did. We'll be right back after this message.
Hey, thanks for coming.
Thank you.
Thanks.
These are real podcast listeners, not actors. We took the identifying marks off this podcast. Just tell me your impressions.
It's really sexy.
My first thought is like Radiolab?
Definitely something popular. Yeah, really popular. A hit show.
But funny, too. Like, does Tina Fey have a podcast?
Or the Marx Brothers?
Yeah, is this podcast Radiolab, but hosted by the Marx Brothers?
And sexy, like Sade? It reminds me of Sade.
Exactly. And they're all riding in a BMW.
Close, but not quite. Take a look behind these panels. Whoa. And then watch this rocket blast off into space.
Whoa.
Ooh. And there's the pies we made you.
Oh.
Now, let's show you the podcast.
Oh. Wow, it was Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Jordan, Jesse, Go?
Hold on. Oh.
Whoa.
Ooh.
Oh, my goodness.
That was 514 J.D. Power & Associates Podcasting Awards.
That was really scary.
But compelling.
I guess I should definitely subscribe to Jordan, Jesse, Go.
Yeah. I'd say so.
Jordan, Jesse, Go. A real podcast.
Hello, Internet. I'm your husband host, Travis McElroy.
And I'm your wife host, Teresa McElroy.
And together we present Schmanners.
It's extraordinary etiquette.
For ordinary occasions.
We explain the historical significance of everyday etiquette topics, then answer your questions relating to modern life.
So join us weekly on MaximumFun.org or wherever podcasts are found.
No RSVP required.
Check out Schmanners.
Manners, Schmanners. Get it?
Welcome back, all you nobodies. Paula, What do you want to say to all those people out there listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone?
Well, Adam, as I'm sure you know, Van Gogh only sold two pieces of art in his lifetime, and those were two drawings which he sold to his brother.
Huh.
Well, that shit won't work for a podcast. The only way we can continue to make Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is if we reach more listeners.
We're a growth-oriented operation.
Very important. Many of our listeners, nobodies, they call themselves, although they're somebodies to us, many of them don't know quite how to share with their kith that they are Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone listeners.
Ooh.
So I have written some simple sample dialogue that can make that conversation easier.
Okay, so this is simple sample dialogue that might work for some of our listeners out there. We do this every week, and back in the day, you might remember, I would get a little bit hot under the collar about the fact that you that your simple sample dialogue is neither simple nor a good sample of what someone might say. But I've progressed to the point where that no longer steams me.
This dialogue will work for lots of
for
people,
lots of
believe
people.
Me.
Okay, great. Looking forward to it.
Listener's friend, boy, you're in a good mood lately. Listener, you know, I do feel lighter. Listener's friend, that's how it seems. You seem lighter. Why do you think that is? Listener, well, there's something I've never told you. I was once bitten by a four-toed hedgehog.
Oh, really?
Listener's friend, is that what that god-awful 6-inch scar across your hand is from? I had never wanted to ask. Listener, yes, it is. I've never talked about it before because hedgehogs are so cute. They're Sonic and Mr. Pricklepants from Toy Story 2. They have a wonderful reputation, so naturally, I thought I was the only one who'd been viciously attacked by one. But I've been listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast that Sheila Baird describes as the whole shit show is perfectly hilarious and perfectly wonderful. And Paula was bitten by a four-toed hedgehog right on the podcast. Listener's friend, ouch, podcasts are sensitive. That must have hurt. Listener, Adam Felber can be quite inimical towards her. She's pretty tough. The point is, it just felt so good to learn that I'm not the only one, and the show is so funny. I've just been feeling lighter.
Well,
should be really helpful, I think. That should expand our reach through Eastern Europe.
Yes.
Through that should boost
because
our,
in Eastern
our
Europe
Croatia
those hedgehogs
listeners.
Are yeah Croatia. You know, you can't throw a stick without hitting a hedgehog.
Like hitting a four-toed hedgehog, and those are the vicious ones.
Those are the vicious ones. So yeah. You got bit by a hedgehog on this podcast.
Yes.
And so you worked it into your sample dialogue.
Yeah,
and Paula,
exactly.
I like it.
Thank you.
If I have one critique,
yeah,
it feels like at the end there wasn't really a reason to take a side swipe at me, your co-host. And yet you do.
No, there was no sideswipe. What the listener was telling their friend. See, the friend was worried that I was hurt by the bite from the four-toed
hedgehog.
Thank you. And what the listener was telling their friend is that, I'm tough.
Right. But in order to illustrate your toughness, the listener says Adam Felber can be quite inimical towards her.
Yeah.
Just a little bit of a dig. It's a little bit of a casting yourself as the victim and me as the inimical one.
Well,
being inimical towards you. What? Are you a victim on this podcast?
Is this slipper fits?
All right. Yeah. With that.
So I think if you want to share with your listeners' friends, listeners, you want to share the joy of the podcast.
Yes.
This is a good way to do it.
Right. But you could do so without dogging the co-host, too.
I don't see how.
Okay. Thanks, Paula. And nobody's. Remember, our email address, again, is nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Where I'm inimical towards everyone. Not towards everyone.
Towards me.
Mostly you. I just want to remind everybody about our fantastic advertisers, awaytravel.com. That's where you can get that fantastic smart luggage. $20 off if you go to awaytravel.com/Paula and use the code Paula20. And HelloFresh.com. If you want $80 off your first four boxes, go to HelloFresh.com/Poundstone80. That's code Poundstone80 that you enter at checkout to get your deal. All right, that's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, Ken Lezebnik, and Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Anthony Alfaro. Special guest to tonight's house band, the amazing Jamie Chamberlain. And thanks again to our guest, the one and only Lily Tomlin. I love that I get to say that. Our head of security is Jonah Knuckles Glickman. Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
This is a good part right here.
Mm-hmm.
Bravo!
Bravissimo!
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.